Amen. I'm so glad he does not change, because we live in a world that constantly is changing, and not for the better. And so I'm glad about that truth. Well, do you have your sword with you tonight? There's a lot talked about charging hell with a water pistol, but you realize he gave us his sword. We got so much better than a water pistol. And so anyway, I'm thankful for that. And but anyway, I get the saying. I've said it as well, and I like it. Well, let's turn to Matthew 18 tonight. I'm going to veer from where we have been. We've been looking at our Isaiah mini Bible study, going through all the books of the Bible. We were midway through Song of Solomon, but this actually comes from some thoughts I had this afternoon. I told Brother Mark, it's like right around lunchtime or a little bit before, I was like, well, I'll see you tonight. I'm not really sure what I'll be preaching. But anyway, I want to talk about, and I'll just entitle this, Jesus Loves the Little Children. Jesus Loves the Little Children. We got VBS coming up. It's coming up. We're going to start it on, Sunday. We got a meeting tonight. This is going to be a weird message, because it's going to be a little bit of a pep talk for our VBSers. It's going to be a little bit maybe of instruction on how to deal with children and that kind of a thing. But also just hopefully to focus our hearts on the importance of children and children's ministries. And so it'll be maybe a little bit different, but we have our VBS meeting tonight after the service. And then Sunday you're going to get here and the VBS decorations will be on the platform. And so really it's upon us here. And so I just thought it'd be good to take a moment. And before I was looking at this week, I've been looking at what I'm going to preach to the littles. And it just got me thinking about, well, I can preach to the bigs too. No offense by the word big, by the way, just the olders, you know. And so anyway, Matthew 18 tonight. Jesus loves the little children. I've seen some of the best and some of the worst come out of people around children's ministries, if that makes any sense. And by the way, as I preach this, please know there's no problems. I'm not expecting any problems. No one has communicated any frustration to me. But I have been to some VBSs where, boy, it was tough. You know, people were upset about little stuff and this and that. And we just need to realize, and we'll get to some of this, we just need to realize we're dealing with kids, and it's going to be a little messy, and it's going to be a little hectic and chaotic, and I just want you to learn to just be okay with that. Just be okay with that, because we want to reach these little kids. That's what we want to do. All right, Matthew 18, I guess I should get to our text here. Verse 1 through 6, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" It kind of irritates me. I'm sure we would do the same thing. Sometimes I get irritated about these disciples. That they ask this a lot. We're going to look at like a couple verses. They're always concerned with who's going to be the greatest. You know who's going to be the greatest in heaven? The Lord Jesus Christ. And then we're all way down here somewhere. I don't know. But they were so concerned. Who's going to be the greatest? And Jesus' answer, in fact, most of the teaching, you'll see we're going to look at a couple passages. Most of the teaching, Jesus, when he brings a little child up, he's trying to not just say something about the little child. He's teaching us how messed up in heart we are. And he's using a kid as an example. And so they ask this question. Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." So he answers this question about, you know, you want to be the greatest. How about we talk about how you get in first? And unless you be like this little child here. Verse 4, "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea." If you don't know that the Lord cares about little children, read verse 6 again. Okay? He cares about them. In fact, there's a lot in the Bible where God cares and protects the innocent, the little kids. And let me just tell you, because in our society, it's not just the little kids that, like, you know, our society attacks. It's the older folks, right? The elderly, the innocent. God has a special place in his heart for the innocent. And so he loves the little children. Let's pray, and I'll get into this. Lord, we thank you for the day. Thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. And Lord, maybe a different message is kind of gearing us up for VBS. Lord, help us all tonight just to take in and be encouraged by what you say about little children. And Lord, just to be encouraged by the ministry, the opportunity we have to minister to little kids and youth. And Lord, sometimes those ministries can be just humanly, they can be frustrating or difficult. But Lord, it's all worth it because of what's going on in those hearts. And we just pray you just use this message to charge us up, get us excited about the week ahead. And then, Lord, whatever else you're wanting to do, we'll just trust you with that. And so, Lord, I need your help tonight. Pray the Holy Spirit could do his work. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we have an opportunity starting Monday to be a help to some little ones, to some VBS kids. And I don't know how many kids we'll have. We may have a small group or a big group. It really doesn't matter. What we're going to do that week is try to minister to whoever comes. And I want you to, as we kind of look at this idea of the importance of children's ministries, the importance of VBS, I want you to take the opportunity tonight, so take this as a little bit of a challenge, to start to pray now for the week we got coming. Start to pray now. I'd like everybody in our church to just take some time in your day and pray for Vacation Bible School. Pray for, you don't know who all's coming, but the Lord does. And so pray for the little kids, pray for the messages, pray for the memory time, everything that we do. I just want you to bathe it all in prayer. We're kind of, I don't want to say sneaky. We're not trying to, we're very clear about what we're doing here. We're trying to give these kids the gospel. But in their memory time, I snuck in the Romans Road. And I snuck in some other passages that hopefully will just kind of sow a seed in the heart if they were to memorize those verses. And so, but what we need to do is we don't want to do this work in the flesh. Sunday night, it was talking about working in the flesh and how when we work in the flesh, you could just say it like this: a vessel can only be full of one thing. It's either the flesh or the spirit. And when we insert the flesh, all of a sudden, we've taken the spirit out. And if we work this VBS and try to serve in the flesh, we're going to negate what the Lord wants to do. So I want us all to be prayed up, and I want us to be praying for the week of ahead. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about children's ministries in general, kind of what they are and what they are not. We often think of children's ministries as babysitting. And there is a ministry. Sometimes my wife does the nursery quite a bit, and some of you ladies do the nursery as well. And some days in the nursery, I'd rather be a preacher all day long. I'll preach to 1,000 people before you have me work the nursery. I know that that's a tough ministry, and I'm thankful for everyone who helps in there. There's days that Tiff comes out of there looking like she came out of World War II. And it's like, I don't know what happened in there. But so she'll come home. I mean, there's been, not recently or anything, but there's been days where she comes home in tears about how difficult it was or whatever in the nursery. And she's like, I told her, I said, well, here's the deal. Did any kids die? And so far the answer's always been no. So that's pretty good. And then I said, here's the deal. What you just did was you ministered to the parents. Because by watching those little ones, the parents are able to be in church undistracted. And so no matter how it goes, like no matter what happens in that room, although we want everything to be good, but even if you think it went bad, it you still minister. So there is an element of babysitting, okay? And so when we have junior church, it's kind of the same. There's an element of, okay, the kids, you know, when you have all the kids in the service, it can be a bit rambunctious and maybe kids are crying or whatever. And so by having their own service, it does help, I think, maybe in our auditorium a little bit. But I tell you what, I love it when the kids are kind of rambunctious in church. It really, I've been in churches where there were no kids to be rambunctious, and I'm just telling you, it's better to have rambunctious kids in the pews than it is to have no life in the church. And so but I want you to know our children's ministries aren't just babysitting. It's a vital part of our church. The children's ministries also are not just entertainment. They're not just there for entertainment. Now, we want, of course, we're going to sing goofy songs. We are going to do some things different with the kids than we do with adults. And there is entertainment involved. With the VBS, of course, we're going to play some games. We're going to have fun. There's going to be food and ice cream and all that stuff. And we love all of that. But it's not the focus of our children's ministries. And we can, if we're not careful, we can get carried away with the entertainment portion and forget the spiritual side. And we can have what, you know, maybe even a parent would say, man, that was a great VBS. They had 52 jump houses and this and that. And you're going, yeah, but did they ever preach the gospel? Like, did they ever really, did these kids ever absorb a verse or, you know, anything like that? And so we got to kind of keep the main thing. But there's an element there of, yes, we're going to have fun. We're going to have some entertainment. We're also going to have a little bit, there's going to be a little bit of that babysitting element. But again, those aren't the purposes. The purpose of children's ministry is to get the gospel to young souls at the earliest possible time. That's really, I kind of thought about, you know, what is our grand purpose? Our grand purpose is to teach these kids about Jesus, about the Bible, about the gospel at an early age. We want to lead children to Christ as soon as possible. I appreciate the testimonies of those who kind of like came out of a life of sin, and maybe the Lord just like gave them this big 180 and they came out of this really dark place and God saved them. Those testimonies are super encouraging. And I love those testimonies. And here's the deal. God can reach into the deepest, darkest place, and he can grab you and pull you right out. And I'm glad for those testimonies. But I want to save children from that. I think it's so much better when a young person can accept Christ at 8 years old or 9 years old, whatever it is that age is up to the Lord. But then it's like I grew up my whole life. I heard those testimonies of people that, you know, they came out of drug addiction or they came out of alcoholism or they came, whatever it is, all these, and I'm thankful for them. But you know what? I always felt like, well, my testimony, who's gonna care about that? Let's see. I occasionally smarted off to my mom. God pulled me out of the depths, you know? No, I'm just saying, I didn't live a real hard life before I was 8 years old. Okay, I was raised in a church. I was in church, you know, every service and in Sunday school and that kind of a thing. So it's like you start thinking about yourself and you're going, well, what good is my testimony? But the beauty of a testimony like that is look at what all God saved you from. And what all, because if it wasn't for the grace of God, we would all have that other testimony. And so while I'm thankful for both, I'm just saying it's better if we can help a young person avoid the difficulty that comes with those experiences. So we want kids to know the Lord as soon as they are able. And in fact, statistics tell us it's staggering. A few years ago, and one of these days I'll get them up here. It's just a little harder to get Hope Children's Home this far north. But Hope Children's Home is a children's home that takes in kids and basically they can stay at the home from birth until they go to college, and then they even help them with college. But it's just an awesome group of people. Brother Matt Higgins is in charge of that, and they do a great job ministering to kids. Of course, these kids are getting saved, they're discipled and all that. But he came in a few years ago in a church I was at, and he gave all these statistics of if you get to this age, only this percent of people will get saved. And if you get to this, and what happens is there's an exponential drop after about 12 years old. So, you know, before 12, there's a lot of young people that'll get saved, but if they don't get saved by 12, their chances of getting saved just exponentially. And it's just statistics. God is greater than statistics. Many of you were probably saved after 12 years old. My wife was. She was saved a little bit later in life. But the statistics say, man, if you don't reach them by 12, 10 or 12, it just really starts, the chances, it just gets harder and harder. And the reason is, it's like, there's this stuff I like to use in woodworking, it's called rock hard putty. And it's, you can get it in a big tub at Home Depot, it's got a bodybuilder on the front, and you take it and you mix a little water in it, but you got to be ready for what you're doing. Because once you mix that water in it, it starts hardening up. And if you don't have it where you need it, you're going to have to sand. And so, because by the time it's hardened, it's a done deal. You're not changing it anymore. And isn't that how we are a bit when we grow? There's some things that happen. I always say that, you know, once you get to be and this has so far been pretty true with my kids, but I know it's true in my life. You know, when I was little bitty, up until like, I don't know, 10 or 12 years old, you know, I thought my parents knew everything. I thought they knew everything. And so I would ask them any question and I would be very trusting, and they would tell me the answer and I'd be like, okay, because my parents know everything. At 12, 13, all of a sudden you realize your parents don't know anything. They don't. How did they even get through life without my knowledge? They don't know anything. And all of a sudden I thought I knew everything. And I'm finding in my 16-year-old there's a little of that happening where you can't tell a kid anything because no, they know everything. And there's like this brain fog that happens in that space. And I don't think it lifts until you're like 20. I don't know. Because then you get to be about 20, you move out and you go, Mom and Dad did know everything, actually. And you're calling them and like, hey, how do I fix all these messes that I just got myself into? Because I thought I knew everything, but turns out I don't. And so what's happening is over time, we're just developing. And the older we get, the harder we are to form and mold. And it's not manipulation. This is heaven and hell. We want kids to know the truth at an early age so that they can make the decisions that they need to make early. That's why we do children's ministry. So when we do junior church, when we do Sunday school, when we have VBS or we anything else, the youth department or whatever, our focus is we're just giving them another opportunity to hear from the Lord. Okay, so Jesus places great importance on children, as you see here in Matthew 18. But turn over to Mark chapter 10 as well, and we'll be back in Matthew 18 looking at a few of the phrases there that we read. But Mark chapter 10, and there's a few examples of this in the Gospels, which are all pretty helpful for us. Mark chapter 10, look at verse number 13. And so while y'all are turning, I saw I got to deal with something in my head, so here it goes. I'm sweating like crazy right now. And you know why? It's because I saw a thing that coffee, up to five cups of coffee plus, is actually helpful. It's healthy. And so I'd had like three. And right before church, I was like, you know what? I'm going to have another. And it was like 100, whatever temperature it was, in my truck. And now it's coming out. So anyway, I'm going to get that out of the way. Okay. So if you're like, man, he's really sweating, it's just because I drink another cup of coffee tonight. All right. Are y'all in Mark 10? Look at verse 13. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. That would be like the parents, okay? They're bringing them up there. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. Not just a little displeased. He was much displeased. And said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily, I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as this little child, or as a little child, he shall not enter therein. He took them up in his arms, he put his hands on them, and blessed them. To the disciples, the children were a nuisance. They were annoying. Y'all ever find kids annoying? Come on. It's only me? The older I get, the more annoying they become. Right? No offense, children. I know we got kids in here. I know he's looking at me. No, but to Jesus, they were never. No, he's not the worst. He's not the worst. No, we love Gage. All right. They were a nuisance. Hey, get these kids out of here. Jesus is busy. He's doing real stuff. What do you got these kids coming up here for? And the reason I point this out is because I've seen it, and I haven't seen it here. This is a praise to a thank you, church. I haven't seen it here, but I've seen it where people get really frustrated. These kids are loud. These kids are not sitting still. Have you ever seen a kid sit still? Other than Michael, he's sitting still right now. Just wiggle worm a little. You'll help me out in my illustration. All right. No, but Jesus says no. He was much displeased. He said, bring them up here. You need to learn a lesson. So Jesus was a kind of a busy man, and he had time and love for the children. And then he used them as examples and admonished us to be like them. So here's some things about kids that maybe we should take our rock hard putty minds for just a second and learn something from the kids. First of all, children readily believe in the Bible. You know, children, they just believe it. You don't have to try to convince. You teach a Sunday school class with kids 10 and under. Those kids don't argue. They're not going, well, I don't believe this. They're, oh, a whale couldn't truly swallow a person. They don't. That's what adults do. Kids don't do that. They readily believe the Bible. Because, and you say, well, they're naive, you know. No, you've gotten hard-hearted.
Yep, that's right.
Jesus says, no, unless you become like one of them, where you believe the Bible. Now listen, don't go out there and believe everything you read, but you can believe the Bible. And they readily believe the Bible. The Bible says this, and again, in our passage in Matthew 18, except ye be converted and become as little children. He's like, you guys need to be more like these kids because they believe. They're not struggling with belief. That's what you do. Colossians 2:6 says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Well, how did we receive the Lord? If you receive the Lord, you receive the Lord by the same way everyone does, by simple faith, the faith of a little child that just believes. Children, they just believe. He goes on in Matthew 4 here, he says, these little ones which believe in me. So they believe in the Lord's word, but they also just believe in the Lord. Kids are trusting. By nature, here's another thing, kids are dependent. They're dependent. They don't have trouble asking for help. Why is it that when you get older, you have a little more trouble asking for help? Because of pride? Because as you grow, you think, well, if I ask for help, I'm some lesser of a person. And the problem is people start really getting too self-dependent, even spiritually. Oh, I don't need anything. I don't need that. I don't need to read my Bible. I don't need to be at church. I don't need that. You know, it's just, but kids, no, they're trusting. If we could just trust the Lord, like most kids trust their mom or their dad, I mean, they're trusting. In Luke 9, verse 46, it says, there then arose a reasoning among them which should be the greatest. And Jesus, perceiving their thought, the thought of their heart, took a child, set him by him, and said unto him, whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you all, the same shall be great. The whole reason the Lord keeps bringing these kids in is to show the disciples the error of their own heart. What the Lord is saying is you need to be humble. You need to be believing, just like this little child, dependent and relying on me, trusting. So, the faith of a child. Then I wanted to say this. We are, as well, Christians, but as a church, we are to receive little children. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. Sunday school, children's church, VBS, junior camp, all good ways to reach kids. VBS this week's likely to be chaotic. Just be okay with it. When it happens, be like, oh, yeah, I remember a preacher saying this was going to get nuts. Just be okay with it. Too many times we get frustrated when kids don't act like adults. And you're like, if you think about it, why would they ever act like it? They're not adults. I've speaking from experience here, I've been in a place where adults were extremely frustrated with the children in the ministry. And as their pastor, I was going, y'all, I'd rather work with them kids any day than y'all. I mean, I'm just being honest. Because I'm just, sometimes pastoring is like running, oh wait, I don't want to say that. I almost said running the nursery, but I've never been in there. So I don't know. It just seems like there's a lot of crying and you're always cleaning up messes. But anyway, I'm kidding. See, this is why I got to stick to my notes here. I have seen the irony before of adults kind of like getting all bent out of shape about these kids. And I'm going, what do y'all do every week? Like, it's just ministry. Do you know this? All people are kind of a mess. If we were all perfect, we could just stop doing all this and the Lord would just take us to heaven. The reason we have a church is because we're all sick. We need a hospital. And so we're all kind of a mess. We just got to get used to the fact that, hey, if we're going to help people, there's got to have to be people that need help. And I learned that years ago. I learned that because, a pastor can get frustrated. Oh, these people are driving me crazy, you know. And I'm not talking to them. I'm just saying it just in general. And the Lord just kind of tap you on the heart and go, what do you think you're there for? If they didn't need anything, I could have you go do something else, right? So the kids, I mean, even that, the craziness that they will definitely ensue, I'm just telling you, just try not to get so frustrated. And again, I haven't heard of any ministry. Just a really, there's a little violence in the statement, right? But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Did you know this? There are some that would offend the little ones. And I'm not talking about anyone here, anything like that. I'm just saying our children are Satan's number one target in our society. And they're not even hiding it anymore. And it's not anything new. If you remember back to the book of Exodus, when Pharaoh, in chapter number 1, the Pharaoh that didn't know Joseph, when he realized that Israel was like growing out of control and he's like, hey, how do we get a hold of this group of people and get them back under control? You know what he said? We're going to kill the little baby boys and we're going to marry the little baby girls. And why did he say that? Because you get rid of those men out of the society and you assimilate the rest of the kids. And you make them. Think about Daniel in Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel chapter number 1. Nebuchadnezzar brought in, he didn't bring in a bunch of old wise men. You realize that? No. Nebuchadnezzar said, we can't do anything with those old wise men, but you know who we can still catch? You know who we can still train? You know who we can still make like we want them to make? We can get the young men, the youth. And so he called all these young men. Of course, right there was Daniel and his three friends. And the next thing you know, he's giving them pagan names and he's teaching them to eat different stuff and he's changing them. He's trying to get them to worship his God. And again, think about who he targeted. He didn't go after those that were set in their ways. He went after the youth. The devil still does that today. He goes after the youth. Of course, the church is one of the lines of defense. The main line of defense is dad and mom. And then after that, yes, the church can come alongside. But I mean, just think about it. Our own government, which I'm thankful, I'm proud to be an American. I mean, we have the American flag up for July. It's July 4th. Proud to be American. Love our country. Love the freedom that we have. Grateful for it all. But you know, even our own government all the time is trying to take authority out of the parents' hands and give it to the government. We'll teach your kids. There's even arguments today, even in our country, whether parents can teach their kids their religion or not. Should parents really be allowed to teach their kids? Not only should they, but they absolutely should do it. Yeah, at least if you're a true believer. But our government, they'd love to take teach our kids how to be. Why do all the trans books end up being children's books? Why don't they make adult? I mean, I guess they do. I probably shouldn't step into that world. I'm sure they do. But kids aren't thinking that way. Why would you ever need any book that was geared toward that at those ages? I've got three kids. All that stuff is foreign to them. Why would they do that? It's because, well, we get them early. We'll get them early. You don't think the devil is targeting children?
Right.
He's absolutely targeting children. The world's after our kids. The devil knows the very same thing about kids as we do. He knows he has a better chance to get them now than he will later. So we have to protect our kids by teaching them the truth. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. It's that idea of, man, if you can get things nailed down when you're young, it just makes the rest of life so much easier. I'm not saying God can't do things. And obviously he can't. We got hundreds of examples of him saving people out of all sorts of lifestyles. But I'm just telling you, if you're able to get some things nailed down early, remember what Paul told Timothy, and he told him this a few different times, a few different ways. He says, remember what your mom taught you? I'm paraphrasing. Remember what your grandmother taught you, Timothy? You remember that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures? You remember that, Timothy? And Timothy could always fall back on his upbringing. And so children's ministry is so important. Like from the nursery, you know, all the way to the youth, and then of course beyond that, but these are the formative years. And so something like VBS is going to be, you know, it's always a tiring week and everything, but it's worth everything. I mean, I know people who have been saved at VBS. I know families who have started coming to church because their kids came to VBS. And you look at them a year later, their whole family's in church, and you're going, how did all that happen? Well, just like VBS, you know, just the Lord using it, get grabbing another heart. So there's a couple things that we're going to do this week. I know it's been a kind of a different message. It's not something, it feels different to me. Maybe it doesn't to you. But anyway, two things, two kind of groups of kids we're ministering to. We also want to remember that we're going to be ministering the gospel and hopefully being an encouragement to some kids that aren't from a Christian home. Like maybe there's some kids here this week that, or next week, that they don't go to church every Sunday. And mom and dad don't give them a good example at home. And who knows what language they hear or what shows they're exposed to and, you know, what their home life is like. And so I want them to see us. I want them to see the love of Jesus in us. That's what I want them to see. I want them to see something different in us than they're going to see at home. I want them, I've talked to people who were like maybe saved out of a bus ministry, and they'll go, man, I went there. It was the best time of my whole week when I could get on that bus and go to church, and people loved me and cared for me. That's what I want them to see. I want them to see the love of Jesus. So I don't want them coming here. And again, there's never been a problem. It's preventative maintenance. Okay. I don't want them to come here and see adults with bad attitudes, frustrated about stuff. And, well, I would have done it this other way or what. Again, I've never seen it. But that would kill it right there. They come in and go, well, man, it seems like these people are just as gripey as at home. I don't want them to see that. So listen, they need to see the love of Jesus in us this week. And then we're going to have groups of kids. I assume most of our kids, or a lot of our kids, will be church kids that are coming to church all the time. And let's don't forget those. Sometimes we do, right? We go, man, these visitor kids, and we kind of focus all of our attention on them. Let's don't forget about our church kids. I'm a firm believer of this. I've preached it here. The church is not responsible for raising your kids. Okay? The church is not responsible for raising my kids. I am. When I get to heaven, I will answer to God for how I raise my kids. My wife and I. The church, though, can come alongside and help. That's it. We come alongside and help. And I've used, the scripture that says, as an arrow in the hand of a mighty man. So we help them aim, right? But they're holding the bow. And so, again, we're here to come alongside and help teach, help instruct. Get them pointed in the right direction. So in our prayer time tonight, which we're going to start right now, I want to spend some time praying for VBS, that God would bless it, that he would use it, that he would help us to be exactly what we need to be for these young kids this week. And so I'm going to have Brother Mark come, and he's going to lead us in our prayer time. But right on top of your list, I want you to write Vacation Bible School. And I want you to be praying every day. Look at that and pray for Vacation.